Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for September 12th, 2019. Let's get right into it. Stocks have been interesting. We're up near the top end of the trading range on the spider, and we think that SPY does have a real chance of actually breaking out to the upside and making new highs. Now, why do we think this? A couple of reasons. First of all, the technicals coming into this correction and throughout the pullback that we had have been better than any of the other pullbacks as far as the technicals are concerned. So that's a big plus. And the other is we are starting to see the market move a little bit more into small cap. We also note that RSP is trading a little bit better than SBY here. And we're going to talk about small cap a little more here than the spider. We'll see where the spider goes. But, you know, one of the things we mentioned over the last bit of time is that small cap could do better in the second part of 2019. And it is so far. We've had a very nice move in small cap. It's up near resistance. We published some numbers on breakouts, but basically above the highs of the consolidation on IJR, which I believe we said in the chart book was 82, above that area, we have a chance at new highs. And on IWM, we also have a chance at new highs if it can get above, you know, the highs that we mentioned, 161. We'll use 162 for that number as well. The real question here that people are asking is, does this move have legs? In other words, is this a flash in the pan, or should this continue? And all I can say is the indicators would suggest that this move does have a chance of continuing. So we should be buying and adding into portfolios some of the quality small cap names that we've been looking at over, you know, time, you know, things that are good recommendations from your firm, that sort of thing. We are on a stochastic buy signal on IWM and on IJR. This indeed is what has given us the buy signal suggesting that we were going to rally over this week. A couple of things I just want to note here, and that is, you know, it is a little bit difficult to say that what everyone knows ain't worth knowing, which is what Newton Zinder said in some cases. But so many people think that September has to be a bad month. It may just not be. The indicators are shaping up as if it is going to be a better year or better month than people are expecting. Let's move into bonds. TLT came right down to test that 140 area we've been looking at. It has tried to rally. We'll see if it does. Failing to hold the 140 mark, say 139.50, 140, would target 135. There's a gap around 137. The accumulation models on that have suggested that that's the case, that this market's going to come down. And I do want to talk about something. We've had a number of questions on some articles saying that the yield curve inversion is different this time. And this is really not a technical question, but there was so much interest in this. We've done a little bit of looking around and getting some data on this. Apparently, Brian Westbury wrote an article on this. Jeff actually knows Brian, and I'll ask him to chime in on this. But I will say this about the yield curve. And I'll tell you where I get this information. First of all, when I was at Merrill Lynch in 2008, Rich Bernstein did some work on the yield curve, and that work has been sort of augmented, if you will, by Dan Suzuki at Rich Bernstein Advisors. There's a piece on their website dated August 19th. I may see if I can get permission to publish this as a monthly research piece, but it's called Yield Curve Inversion Cheat Sheet, and there's some interesting things in this piece. One of them is defining an inversion. He mentions that it's not clear what constitutes a signal. A tick below zero, closing below zero on the yield curve, staying constantly negative for a month or a quarter or whatever. It also, he does mention it can take 2 to 3 years before a recession. In other words, are you willing to wait 2 to 3 years before saying the yield curve inversion is not going to lead to a recession? He points out that in 1965, the yield curve inverted, and we didn't have a recession until 1969, 1970. There was no inversion before the 1987 market crash, no inversion after the 68 to 70 top and the 73, 74 bear markets. So we don't think the yield curve, and we've said this, is a great indicator because it takes so long. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you to chime in on what Brian Westbury said, if you've got any opinion on that, if you've talked to Brian about that, because, you know, again, he says it's different this time, but what is he actually saying?
Yeah, so anyone who wants to read his stuff, it's free. I actually have known Brian since 1987, a year after I graduated from college, so I've known him for a pretty long time. And I actually think he's pretty thoughtful and stuff. I think the only mistake that he's really ever made in his professional career was overstaying long in the 07, 08 period, but a lot of people did that. Fred, what you're referring to is a piece that he wrote called The Rorschach Economics, and he basically says that there's, you know, three groups of people. One, who's obsessed with, you know, Trump's tariffs and thinking that the world's going to come to an end. The second, who basically just opposes every single thing that, that Trump has to come out with. And then the third group is those that are basically what he said. I'll just paraphrase him. He said the last three have been obsessing about the next recession since the moment the last one ended. And he used example of the ISM, which came out last week when it dropped to 49.1, and about how we had the big reversal there. But from his viewpoint and looking at stuff, Fred, he's actually totally in sync with what you're saying. And he's just saying that, you know, we're in a plow horse type of mentality where we're just plugging ahead. And kind of the way he summed it up was, if someone has an axe to grind about the U.S. economy, we're sure they'll see a recession in whatever blot or piece of data they look at. They can always find something to worry about. Nonetheless, we continue to believe that the optimism should be the default for which investors when it comes to the U.S. right now. So, I mean, he's kind of in sync with where you are, Fred.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't read his point, but we did have some questions on it. I tried to click on a link to it, and the link was broken, just showing the kind of luck I have. Perhaps more important for us, the action in the small cap stocks and the transports over the last little bit of time would suggest that there is less chance of a recession than not. And I want to mention one other thing to people that is just interesting because it does come within Dan Suzuki's sort of two-year window, and that is the old presidential cycle. Before the 2008-2009 period, there was a fairly clear presidential cycle mentioned by Mark Hulbert, amongst others. And that was the following. The first year of a new president's term is usually the worst year for the stock market in that term because and this is also for a reelected president. What happens in the fourth year before the election is the president tends to try to goose the economy, and not just the president, the party in power tries to goose the economy so things look really good. And then the first year after that election is to correct the excesses of that goosing. The second year of the term is sort of a basing year. It's usually up, but it's not really exemplary. And then the economic policies, if they're growth-oriented, really kick in the third and fourth year. And, you know, we haven't seen that presidential cycle certainly since Obama was elected. And frankly, you know, seeing Obama come in 2009, it's very difficult, you know, just think back to 2009 to correct whatever excesses we had in 2008, 2007. In other words, the market did very well in 2009 because things had already gone down the tubes. And we've had enough Fed stimulus and such really since that time that the presidential cycle has gone by the wayside. If they're normalizing the economy, which everyone says they're trying to do, it may be that they are trying to normalize in a way that's going to bring that presidential cycle back, which means 2 years from this inversion, we could have a recession, which would also be the first year of either a reelected president or a newly elected president's term. So we'll see how that goes. But unless small cap and transports start to really act terrible and we see the advanced decline line start to go down the tubes, you know, we're in the camp that the market is basically okay. And the bond market, you know, we think the bond market is overdone based on our models. What's really interesting here is TLT's accumulation model, which is what we use for our main set of conditions, has done a better job this year predicting the market than I have, in that it said that rates were going to be up to stable. The latest move in bonds is being retraced, and that model suggested this latest move in bonds was no good and should be sold. So we'll see how this goes. Let's take a quick look at the commodities, and first we're going to look at GLD. GLD is up today. It's held support at the 140 area. That accumulation model also suggests that gold is at risk of a bigger and quicker decline. And we'll just have to see how that goes. Another negative we mentioned before, if you look at the chart of SLV, that looks like a spike peak. SLV accelerating to the upside very often is a negative. And the most important area where we've had some questions is oil. Oil still is down seasonally. We're on a sort of a weekly stochastic buy signal, but it doesn't have a lot of momentum. And what this means to us is the pop-up in XLE over the last few days is probably a sign of bottom, in that we're probably not going to blow through the 56 area on XLE. Now, the other question is, will XLE outperform? And our response to that is we've probably got at least 3 or 4 weeks of underperformance in that. We're underweight XLE because we think it's going to underperform, not whether we think it's going to bottom or not. And what's interesting is, you know, we've been sort of underweight IYZ as well. And it's, you know, we're seeing some better performance in the stocks. It's reacting well to a buy signal. But IYZ is still below 30, our key area for it, in spite of all the stuff with AT&T, such that, you know, these sectors can go up, but they're probably going to underperform. In terms of international, you know, EFA is improving. Certainly PXH and EEM have bounced off support. These are bases. They are on buy signals. Will they be big outperformers? I think there was some news that QE could come back in Europe. Anyone who wants to make a bet on European growth, I've got an ETF for you to try. It's EWGS, Small Cap Germany, EWGS. If there really is going to be growth over in Europe, that should do better than the other stuff. And it's a good bet. It's also on a weekly buy signal. It's in a base. So, you know, with that, I guess that'll be the end of our prepared comments. Jeff, do you have anything more for us aside from the yield curve stuff?
Yeah, I do. So last kind of Thursday, more so on Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, is one of the bigger rotations we've seen. Specifically, energy stocks have ripped to holy hell. Just look at, you know, HAL as an example. A lot of them are up, you know, more than 10% in just a couple days, and financials have done the same thing. And then in the opposite way, software has got absolutely crushed Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, some of these names dropping, you know, more than 20%. So I want to know what you think about that massive rotation that took place. That's my first question for you.
Sure. The first thing to say is if you look at Halliburton, it's still a very nice downtrend. even though it's a weekly stochastic buy. And this may be the start of something. The real question, though, is, Jeff, can it continue, right? Is this a sign that this rotation is going to last for years? And right now, we don't really think it is. You know, sharp drops are bullish, and very sharp rallies are often indicative of short covering rallies. Now, Jeff, one of my theories has always been that the first rally off a major bottom is short covering. And the reason I say that is, Jeff, you've worked a lot with shorts, so has Phil Erlanger. Those guys, the successful ones, are amongst the smartest investors out there, aren't they? And what that means, essentially.
Well, I would say, I don't know if they're the smartest. I would say they do more work than other people do. I'll go with that comment for now.
Yeah. So if they think it's a bottom and they cover their shorts, what you generally see after that short covering rally is volume dries up and prices don't make new lows, and that's the sign of a bottom that you want. Okay.
But Fred, that's not what happened.
Right.
Especially in the case of software, because.
Yeah.
Like in software, as an example, we have a category of the type threes where the stocks are weak technically and there's a lot of short selling going on. Those stocks got crushed the most. They're down for the week so far like 6.5%.
Right.
So there's little sign of that actually being the case. And we just got, by the way, the latest short interest numbers that go through the very end of August. So we're now basically 2 weeks behind in terms of the data. It doesn't take into account what happened in September so far, but the point is there was no covering through the very end of August, and even more adding. And we've been adding now for 4 months in a row. And the point out of that is that we're in a situation where the short selling that's being done, it's being done by dumb short sellers. And what I mean by that is we have all the data going back to 92, and we can track whether smart short sellers are in or not, and it's all dumb short sellers, and they've been making a lot of money up until kind of like the last couple of weeks here, with the exception of software. Other things like they've had to cover and move away from. And to point on this bounce, Fred, take a look at Goldman Sachs as an example. You know, from the beginning of the month, it's basically gone from call it 197 all the way up to 218. That's a pretty big move. So your viewpoint would be on these weaker sectors like energy and financials that it's much ado about nothing, and these type of moves only occur when you're in a bad phase. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and Jeff, we're overweight financials. We think that that's going to be one of the top sectors for the rest of the year, and particularly the banks. And this may be the start of that. We'll have to see. If we're right and the bond market move is over, and bonds even drift here and drift down, we may see these banks and things do quite well.
And you mean by bonds
what we're expecting.
Drift down, you mean by drift down in price and yield continuing to move higher,
right,
correct?
Yield continuing to slowly rise and bond prices go down. Yeah, I know, I hate that too, everybody. So we are still advocating buying some of these banks. We've been lukewarm on technology really for the past year. And one of the reasons for that is outside of the big large cap techs, the ones that have been leading, you know, something like PSCT, the smaller names have not been leading. That's actually starting to pick up now. That's, in fact, where I would look. In fact, if I were looking for a tech stock that was going to just skyrocket, I would look for some of the best technical charts in PSCT now, not the large caps. That's languished almost all year. That's probably where that's going to go.
So to extend this argument a little bit, some people have been making an argument that value is going to pick up here versus growth. And if we just look at the S&P 500 as an example, I don't buy that argument because IVE is up 19.63%, and IVW, which is the growth side of S&P 500, it's only up 21.76. So there's basically a 2-point differential between those two. It's not like value is at 10% and growth is at 21%. They're really close to each other. So do you think that there is a quote-unquote movement afoot to move to value over growth, or do you think that's what's your thought when you look at those two charts, IVE and IVW?
Well, I tend to agree with you. I don't think that this is necessarily the start of something. We did our analysis on the ones we use, the Vanguard Mega Caps and the Vanguard Small Caps, and frankly, they did not really indicate that this switch was sustainable. We need to see more of it and more time. Now, what I would be doing here, because I think that small cap could start to do much better, and it may be that small cap value does better than small cap growth, is I would be looking to add selective small caps here to models and maybe some small cap ETFs here with the idea that this could continue. And I would be watching the numbers that we've given on the Russell and on IJR to see if we can see if they start to take out those numbers on the high end, then this may really be happening. But right now it seems to me that this is just, you know, this has been an interesting short-term rotation, but it doesn't have super long-term implications yet.
Okay, so here's my last question for you, and it ties into this argument as well. So when I look at technically strong or technically weak stocks, the way I define that, Fred, is just simply stocks that have poor relative strength or strong relative strength against the S&P 500. When I look at it that way, there's a lot more stocks that have a weak technical rank than have a strong technical rank. But in the last 2 weeks, and especially this week, the weakest stuff is really absolutely annihilating the strongest stuff. I mean, by like, I think the number when I get through the calc through yesterday, it's going to be more than 700 basis points, which is a really big deal. I mean, sometimes 700 basis points is a nice year in the stock market. And it seems to me that the weakest stuff, a lot of it's in small cap, and that would validate the move in the Russell. And so that would go along with your idea of being in small cap. So do you think that there's something to that in terms of that rotation? That's not per se a value versus growth. It's more an issue of what's been working, whereas what hasn't working. And now, like, that, what hasn't been working all of a sudden is starting to work. So
yeah.
Thoughts on
and
that
I
as it relates to small cap?
I think we should buy the best stuff in small cap. But, Jeff, we've had these little – we've had these sorts of moves before, and it hasn't lasted. I think that this time it's got a much better chance of lasting. And that we'll see fairly strong small cap into the end of the year, mostly because we feel that the idea of the recession fears are also overdone. Small cap does less well in a recession. But would I sell all my large cap stocks and jump into small cap models? No. Would I sell stuff that has strong relative strength in the large cap area? No, I wouldn't. Would I add new money coming in to some of the small cap things and beef up your small cap models? Absolutely. And let's see how this goes. Because, Jeff, I mean, one of the things that we tend to forget is if this move is really going to be a major move in small cap and last for a couple of years, you know, we don't have to buy it all today, right? We've got, you know, a couple of months to watch this. I do think there's some good-looking small-cap stocks on recommended lists. I looked at Merrill Lynch's recommended list for small-cap. That looked there were some nice-looking names on there. Stephen DeSantis, now at Jefferies, a former Merrill Lynch small-cap analyst who I really enjoyed. I looked at some of his stuff, and yeah, there's some attractive-looking names technically in that area that I think we should be in. But would I make a huge change in models just because of this week? Not necessarily. In fact, no.
Where would you – like if the Russell – I mean, it's not that far away from it percentage-wise. If it can break through like the 160 level, which was basically the May high, is that where you would get more confidence and
162
maybe up your weighting a little bit?
162 is the number that I'm using, Jeff. I want it to be enough above that that it doesn't just poke its head above that.
Okay, great. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So that's it for me. I'll turn it back to you.
Cool. Let's open for questions. Jeff and I went on a little bit longer than we probably should have. Questions from the field.
Jeff, sorry, Scott.
Scott.
Did you look at MDY, the mid-cap, in relation to that whole discussion?
Yeah, well, let me see. I'm on a daily chart. I want to get a weekly chart. On MDY, I would probably use 364 or so to say that that's going to be a breakout.
And when I look at value, it looks to me like especially on like a weekly relative strength, that it needs a rest. So would you agree that value is not just going to continue? I think we're 10 straight days in a row of outperformance.
Yeah, and even more, Scott, I think the real key here, and I'm going to actually find these ETFs so everyone can look at them, is does this 10 days mean that this can continue for 2 or 3 years, right? Take a look at the monthly chart or the first of VBR versus VBK, right? VBR had a nice move, right? That's value. That's small cap value. VBK has done less, but VBR is still a downtrend and a worse chart, right? If this is really going to start to accelerate, one of your numbers would be to look at VBR and say that above, say, 136, 134.84 is the high it needs to get over. Say 136, that could start highs and start to make new highs and suggest a longer, more powerful up move. And everyone should look at the long-term monthly small cap and mid cap charts relative to the S&P or NYA. In other words, those charts, when they start to go, it goes for a long time, right? Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I was it Quick Draw McGraw that would they would always say, "Don't just stand there, do something," on the cartoons, right? We gotta. It looks like this is changing. It's looked that way for a while, but it really hasn't changed. That's the point I'm trying to make. If it does, we'll jump on it. We'll have a couple of years of change, I think.
Okay.
Hey Fred, Jeff, I just had a question from someone who was listening, and they said they didn't get the symbol of what you said. They thought it was PSTC, but that didn't work. So what was the
No.
symbol of the one you were
Victor
just talking about?
Bravo Robert
Victor
is,
Bravo Robert, right?
yeah, VBR,
Okay.
the Vanguard Small Cap Value ETF, because this trend we found usually really shows up first in small cap. And then V, Victor, Bravo, and I hate K. I usually say cool cigarettes, but K, kill, kill. That's the one, kill, is growth. And you can see that the value really is picked up relative to that, but the growth still is a better chart. Right? And that's where we want to look. This is a key. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this issue, but this is really key to a lot of our folks, Jeff, because a lot of them, do style box type stuff where this is going to suddenly be real important. Those are the things that I would look at to see if this is really changing.
Got it. Thanks.
Sorry, Scott. And do you have any stock questions or should we just go on?
You can go on. Thanks.
Sure. Next question, if we have.
Hey, Fred. Jerry Thurston. Hey, you talked about financials picking up. Any specific banks or ETFs that you think are best place to look there?
I like Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Goldman, and J.P. Morgan.
Okay.
And
What about on the
XLF is,
ETF side?
I'm sorry?
What about on the ETF side?
I don't have the symbol in front of me. I think it's PRF. The No, it's not that one. Whatever the high relative strength Invesco ETF is for financials, that ought to work pretty well. And of course, I have here in my office a look at the Dorsey ETFs. There may be a symbol in there. But at this stage, that has done fairly well. So I would look at that. And if you're real aggressive, PSCF, the financial small cap ETF, might be the one that you want. Let's take a look. Healthcare. Blah, 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 blah.
PFI is the financial.
PFI is the one I'm looking at. Yeah.
Yeah.
That has the chance to do really well in here if financials start to go.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Sure. And that has been doing a little bit better than XLF also. Other questions?
Hi, Fred. It's John from Minneapolis.
John, how are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm looking at NVDA, NVIDIA.
And let
It's
me
up quite
punch
a
it
bit.
in.
Yeah, it's up quite a bit, and I'm just curious if it's done for the time.
Well, you know, I think you might have a little bit more in it, and if the
Oh.
market continues to act well, in here, I would hold on to that. But you really need to get that above, it could get to 192, 193. If it doesn't get through there, it's probably at the top end of a range.
Okay. Yeah, it seems to bounce around this area and then head back down to 150 and such, so.
Yeah, and watch your stochastic. If that rolls over, write some calls or dump it.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey,
Other
Fred, this is
questions?
Fred and
Sorry.
Scott. Can I circle back on one?
Yeah, certainly.
Just a, I'll add on to the NVIDIA because I'm watching that space really closely. Broadcom reports after the close, and there's talk that, you know, it could move 15% each way. So, you know, maybe we get a breakout here for those, but just figured I'd mention that. And the second thing, I'm also trying to get back into banks and watching the interest rates in the relative strength chart on the TLT and the TNX are basically saying that, you know, rates should come back down before they maybe go higher or whatever. But so
Yeah.
we might get a better time to buy the banks in the next week or so. Would you agree with
We
that?
sure might. I'm Scott, and I'm just a little tiny bit nervous that so many people were trapped up there at 147 that they may flip out and sell. But the upside here is this is 140.46 basically on TLT right now. Even if it goes right to 135 to 137, after that it should bounce. I wouldn't panic and try to buy the banks necessarily that you want. But if I saw Bank of America back at 28.50, for example, which isn't a long way, I would start to get it if I didn't have any. These are still bases. You know, they could still come down within those bases.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how are
Fred,
you?
Jeff.
Jeff.
Good. Two things. American Tower, AMT, it fell out of bed this week on no news.
You know, it's been overbought for a while and it has pulled back to support. I would need to see it above, close above, you know, Jeff, piss on me, pardon my French people. 218.79 is the last high and I'm showing it at 218.74. Very frustrating. But basically, we need to get that back above 220, and then it's probably got towards the top end of the range. But Jeff, this may go sideways. This may go into a consolidation. It's had a
Okay.
big run.
Yeah, it has. And then if you were to add, if you're going to add money to either Axie or Las Vegas Sands right here, what has the higher price target in the near term? For
LVS looks
LVS or
like
OXY?
68 to 70, and what was the other one?
Axie, OXY.
OXY. I would say LVS right away. Oxy has got a nice yield, but Jeff, this weekly chart is a downtrend. You know, it's got to get back above 51 before it even looks interesting to me. This is one I've been sort of looking at if it can go into a base as a tax bounce play.
Got it. Okay. Thank
Sure.
you.
Got it. Good to hear your voice. Other questions? By the way, Chevron just got a weekly stochastic buy signal. That's been my favorite in the big oils, and it's validating that by giving me a weekly buy signal. Now, the question is, will it give me 130 also? Who the heck knows, but at least this looks better and more buyable than Oxy. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, this is Mark Houghton. Got multiple names for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Palo Alto Networks, PANW.
Okay, we had that one in the chart book. It is on a weekly buy signal. It looks like it can make it back up to, say, 230 as part of this, but that would still just be in the range.
Okay. How about MCK?
I think that was also, oddly enough, in the chart book. That was really
interesting. I need to look at that before.
Yeah. I think that one, if you're real aggressive here, it's on a weekly sell signal. What I would probably do is see if I could get that at 145 or so, and assuming it holds the last low at 135, 136, which it should, you might get something out of that going into the next few months.
Okay. SWK.
SWK. That's another base. A lot of this sort of stock is sitting here in bases near the top end. If you were to see SWK above, say, 154, and I think you can get to 153. If you see it above 154 or so, that could give it a run up, you know, start a new uptrend.
Okay. Last one is Qualcomm, QCOM.
Oh, Fred. Sorry, I'm typing in wrong symbols.
All right.
You know, that is right up near resistance. It's still positive, but you've really got to see this above, say, 81 or so to get to 84. I'm not big on this stock. I could be wrong, but this is probably the least interesting of the three or four you mentioned.
Okay. Appreciate it.
And you know what's interesting, by the way? Let's take a quick look at Boeing, everybody. Apparently, Morgan Stanley, and Mark, you would know this, did Morgan Stanley come out with a huge recommendation on this a few days ago?
I didn't see it. I was traveling. But they have a $500 price target right now.
Right. I was told that this was their number one pick for the year. And all I can say is it's up near resistance. If that daily stochastic goes negative, the stock will probably get back to 364, and then I could try it. I wouldn't try it here.
Okay.
Okay. Good to hear your voice. Other questions?
Hey, Fred. This is David. How are you doing?
Fine, David. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, wanted to come back to the oil patch a little bit and ask about Baker Hughes. Basically, they did a huge kind of secondary of GE kind of selling a huge chunk, which, you know, I think they have plans to do more over the year. But having said that, it kind of has moved down, you know, about 10%+ over the last couple days. And was thinking potentially as maybe a swap out of Oxy or, you know, just thoughts in general on
that.
That
might be a good idea. The weekly stochastic on that is still positive. It's still a base, and it's outperforming Oxy. And actually, today's not a bad day of trading for it so far. It's trading above the open. Your only issue is your daily stochastic may come down a little bit more. I don't think I'd buy it all today, but that might be a good.
The secondary came at 21.50, so that gives
right.
you a little bit of an idea anyway.
Yeah.
On that front. But that was. Wanted to kind of get your opinion there just because it's obviously an out-of-favor area.
Yeah, yeah.
Right
and,
now.
You know, if oil makes a seasonal bottom at the end of October, you know, if guys start buying these oils now with the idea that we're going to finish buying them by the end of October and possibly have some tax loss bounce stuff as well, that may be a viable strategy, especially if they have yields. I mean, I've done neighbors every single year for tax selling. I'll probably get a chance to do it again this year. You know, as far as I know, that company is better than the $1.80 stock price would indicate. And I'll be in Texas in a few weeks, and I'm going to be asking some of my old buddies about that. So, you know, some of these are probably okay, but they're probably not going to start to outperform until the winter.
Right. And to with regard to your comment about BA and Morgan Stanley, I think they came out that BA was one of their top picks in, I guess, the industrials.
Okay.
And I think we had something out actually today, just commenting on what did Dennis say, but I haven't
right.
read it yet.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet either. Someone at the firm usually sends me some stuff. And Boeing doesn't look terrible. It just looks like it may not just blast off and go straight up here. You might have a better chance to buy it.
Right. And a couple of just other random stocks. XPO, I just wanted to, I know it was in the, I haven't looked at the charts yet that you sent over, but wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Let me take a quick look at the weekly chart because I'm looking quickly at the daily right now. You know, this does look like it's got some bottoming signs, and, you know, be a little careful if that weekly stochastic turns down. If it does, you could probably get this at 69 to 71, but it, again, it looks like it's got bottoming signs.
Okay. Thank you.
Good, good. No, good to hear your voice. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, this is Dan.
Dan, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. A quick one here on Medtronic, MDT. Your thoughts?
This is one of those stocks, Dan, that I have lost money on every time I've traded it. And it's been basically a good chart. It's in breakout mode and going up slowly. I like the looks of this. I think you have to stay with it.
Dan,
or buy it.
I own it, so I was just wondering whether to let some go or just hold on.
I just hold on at this point. If the market goes here, this could actually be a leader or in with the leaders.
And then thoughts on AT&T. I know you had it in the charts here, but they made an announcement this morning saying that they're expecting some lower revenues and stocks getting clipped a little bit here, and it's run on that activist that kind of got a big share input there and your thoughts there.
Yeah, you know, I looked at his $60 number with interest because, Dan, I own the stock too.
Huh?
And what I would say about that is I figure the stock can get to 42 to 45, and then I'll look at it and see how it does relative to a chance at 60. There's nothing saying sell me on this, except that it's overbought, but it's also coming out of a very long base, such that I would hold on to this. I thought about selling it and looking for another dividend stock because there is some resistance at 39 going back to 2018. I thought about selling some of my position, but I'm unclear to myself as to what I would put it in. It's probably going to pause here, but I can see it going through here and going to 45.
And one last one is GLW Corning.
GLW. That has held support on the monthly chart and could turn up on the monthly chart as well. The weekly stochastic is a buy signal off of this support. So even if this doesn't do particularly well, you should still get 33 out of it.
Thanks so much.
Sure. And does this stock go up after every new iPhone introduction, just out of curiosity? Because I know they make the glass.
They do a lot of the glass, right.
Yeah, yeah. Other questions? Very well, going once.
Fred, could you take a look at the
Hey, Fred, it's John.
John, one sec. Let Scott go, and then I'll do
sure.
you. John or Scott?
Could you please,
app.
Could you please look at biotech, IBB, XBI?
Yeah, IBB and XBI, they are both on weekly buy signals on the stochastics now. IBB looks a little tiny bit weaker instead of a little tiny bit stronger. You know, I'm still worried about the political stuff. We had a good run on Amgen, and it's pulling back. I just am not so sure this group is going to do great things between now and the election, but this is the place to start to buy some if you want to have it in your models.
Okay. And in terms of some of the growth that got crushed, I bought a little RNG yesterday. You still okay with that name?
Yeah, that came right down to support and is basically holding it. And again, stocks like this that have had big moves may go into consolidations for a bit, but this looks like it's at the low end of its range.
Thanks.
John.
Hey, Fred, will you take a quick look at an industrial name? Bravo, Mike, Charlie, Harry.
Bravo, Mike, Charlie, Harry.
Harry. Yep.
BMC.
BMC. Yep.
Was there weird news on this? It looked like someone was going to buy this, according to the chart, that big sort of up and sideways.
I don't know.
But in the absence of that, it's trading okay. You've got some resistance up in here in a weekly overbought stochastic. If 25, it's just barely through the 2570 high back from last year. I don't see any reason not to own this if you really want to own it.
Jesus Christ. Okay, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Sure. Other questions?
Fred Allen.
Allen, how are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, sir.
Do me a favor, look at Broadcom real quickly, please, sir. Alpha, Victor, Golf, Oscar.
We just looked at it, but that's okay. I'm looking at the long term. I know the earnings, I think, are coming at the close.
Right.
And it's still up. It is at resistance. If this can get through 305, it's probably going to do pretty well.
Got it. Great. One thing I would just offer to you, to Jeff, and anybody else that's listening, Mnuchin just got on basically saying that they are seriously, the Treasury is seriously considering the issuance of 50-year Treasury.
Right.
Right to what Jeff was saying a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and that might be the you know, sort of the cap on bonds. We've all been waiting for him to do that. This might be it. We'll just have to see. Thank you for that, Alan, because I didn't see that.
Very good. Thanks for all your help, Fred.
Sure, man. Any questions? Going once? Going twice?
Hey, Fred. Jeff, I got a couple more.
Sure.
Hey, Fred, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I got a couple. These are tech-related from a tech client. HUBS.
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 HubSpot. Okay. Jeff, it's certainly down nicely, and the daily hasn't turned up yet. The trading pattern doesn't look terrible. The weekly says it's sideways. You know, Jeff, if he's aggressive, he can try to buy this. Below 160.62 would be a problem, and that's probably longer than he would want to stay. Let me check something here real quick. You're probably going to have an up day on this today. If he buys it, he should, you know, have a decent close, say 175, 176 in the next few days.
And then QTWO.
QTWO. Q2 Holdings. Let me take a quick look at the weekly on that. Jeff, that's come right down to an uptrend line. If he's got good fundamentals, even though it's a weekly stochastic sell, let me take a look at the daily. That's probably worth a try. Again, Jeff, there's one thing I'm sure this guy, let's see. There's a bit of a gap that may have already filled because there's trading in there. You have to let this hit 76 if you buy it. But it's turning up.
Okay, great. And then there are a couple more. CIEN and Zen. CIEN and Zen.
That's a real dog. CIEN. That's the French word for dog. Jeff, I'm sorry. It's a bad joke,
yeah.
Shen. I always say that about this stock. Sort of like when we had Palm, I always used to say it was handy or something. I said the stock was always hairy. If Philip Danishevsky is on the call, I'm sorry about telling you that joke again. Jeff, the thing that worries me on this is that giant gap. If this doesn't get through, say, 42.5 on this buy signal, you could see this go down and fill that gap in the 36 area. And what was the other one?
ZEN.
ZEN. Again, this one looks like more sideways consolidation. I prefer Ring. They're the same industry. But if you want to buy Zen here versus a stop of 69, you could do that. And it is on a weekly buy. I think this group is actually going to do okay.
And then one other is CSCO, Cisco.
CSCO. That's also down on support, and the weekly has just sort of gone positive. So this probably is viable with a target of, let's say, 54 initially, and is that right? 52.50 to 54 initially, and then the gap at 55.50.
Yep. I want to go back to the one question that got asked about AMT. A lot of stocks, when you look at their daily charts that looked like this coming into September, have had really big pullbacks. Like this is pulled back from above 240 down below 15, and now it's kind of working its way back to 220. And also, take a look at FISV. It's almost the same identical type of chart where it ran up, you know, and just kept running, and now it's gone from, like, call it 109 at a peak back below 102, and now it's 103 and change. So the question is, if you have other stocks like this that somehow have escaped being sold just because people are panicky and trying to lock in gains on stuff that's been basically straight up, would you – with where we are right now on Thursday, would you be a seller of at least part of those names? If you had a stock that, say, looked like AMT and it was at 240 and it had just been straight up, would you, as an exercise of trying to get ahead of other people that might be sellers on any of the next weakness?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. So you would think about...
Yeah, there's a lot. There's stocks that are really overbought now. Again, Jeff, realize, and again, we'll have to see some time. I think these are going to go into consolidations. They're not going to just get pasted from here, that they could rally back towards the highs and then come back down. That's fairly normal after big extended runs. And sharp drops often are bullish, and these have been sharp drops.
So let's go back to someone else had asked about AT&T. So to me, AT&T kind of looks like the AMT or the fee serve chart, FISV, at the actual peak. So would you, if you had held AT&T, would you at least trim part of your gains on this thing?
Jeff, this is such a long-term base on the monthly. The answer is no.
Okay, cool. So actually, that kind of relates to it. So go back to AMT as an example and change the chart period to weekly. And when you look at that, and you just make it a simple candlestick chart, it's like one of the biggest red candles we've seen. So when you have a weekly chart like that that's just got a monster big red candle, is it not likely that there's potentially more downside ahead on it?
Jeff, I think with it means that there's could be more downside, but more than likely about something like this, it's consolidation.
Okay.
You know, after the consolidation, it may fall out of bed, and I'm really glad we took this off of our favorite charts in the chart book about a month ago, because we'd have to take it off now in the sector review, I mean, not the chart book. But generally, something like this will have a little bit more consolidation and then fall, rather than just keep going straight down in the absence of really disastrous fundamentals.
Okay. Cool.
Sure. Other questions? Very well. Going once. Going twice. This will end the Fed Report technical market call for December 12, 2019.